I think I'll read the last chapter of the book of Revelation. It's chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manna of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know, when you speak of the of this beautiful city, it says here, the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. It says in the 21st chapter and the 22nd verse, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. A lot of times I say this to different ones, that in the great millennium, there are people that are going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. The average person, when you press the issue on that, they believe that. They don't know exactly how, but they know that the Bible teaches that. And they believe that. And when you go over to the first of the book of Revelation, and you begin to expound to them how that kings will inhabit the earth, and during the millennium that there will be kings that will rule from the throne, you can persuade them to believe that. But then when they get to the great new earth, they don't accept the fact that there are still kings that are still reigning and still ruling. They accept the fact that there has been kings in the millennium, and many people doesn't even accept that. But when it comes to kings ruling and reigning, they say no. Jesus is our king. That's the only king. No more kings. But that's where they're mistaken. There are more kings than Jesus. There are many kings. Well, the Bible says in the first of the book of Revelation, I've read it to you before, we'll remind you again tonight, in that I want to bring out one or two little things here. I remind you that in the first of the book of Revelation, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth." The prince of the kings of the earth. We know that he's the prince of life and the prince of the kings of the earth. He is the chief ruler. But a lot of times we just apply that to the kings that are in rule today, and that is the way that we feel about it. But see, that's not all there is to it. "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." It says, "and hath made us kings." So somebody would say, "Brother Pike, if there's going to be kings in the earth, then who are those kings?" That's us. Let's give the Lord a hand. I like that, don't you? That's us. Now somebody would say, "Well, it's bad enough to have you as a pastor, let alone a king, but it's still us." All right, so here we are over here speaking about this wonderful, wonderful new earth. Now, not the millennium, but this wonderful new earth. And it says here, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it." See, the nations, there's going to be so many people that will serve God till there's going to be nations of people. Just like in the world today, there's going to be nations of people. And the Bible said, "Of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end." There's going to be nations of people. And there's going to be kings over those nations. Just like today, there's a nation over here. The United Nations. Ordinarily, there would be a king over the United Nations here. But over the nations, there will be kings. There are queens. There are kings. It doesn't speak of any queens here, but it does speak of kings. It does speak of priests. And it does speak of the great, mighty queen of heaven, which will be the church, or be the elect lady, he calls her, as not a queen, but his lady. And she will be one with him as the king, or as the earth would call it, the queen of all things. And so then it is so beautiful here, for it says, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it." A lot of people feel like, "Well, Brother Pike, if I'm a Christian, then I live inside of the city. I'm part of the city. I'll be in the city." No, there's a lot of difference. There's a world of difference. There is a world of difference like in the world today. There's a difference between people. There's a difference between billionaires and millionaires and people who have but a few thousand. There's a difference between paupers and they that are exceedingly rich. So there's going to be a difference. Peter said on one occasion, God making a difference between us. He said, choosing me to open the door to the Gentiles. Does God then make a difference? He does, according to his word, according to his will, according to his way, he does make a difference. So then he says, then there is a difference. And the difference here is that some are kings. And Jesus spoke of it on one occasion. He said, in some over 5 cities, and some over 10 cities, and whatever, you know. And I remind you again, he said to the apostles, they said, what are we going to receive, seeing that we left everything to follow you? And Jesus said, seeing that you have left your wife, your homes, houses, everything else, to follow me, he said, in the regeneration of mankind, he said, then when I sit upon my throne as a king, then ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. How many of you believe they're going to be kings? 12 kings. Them apostles, they had to do without. They were killed. They were mistreated. But they are kings. And they're going to be great, mighty kings. And then it speaks of the 24 elders that was in the city. Evidently, in the city, evidently, the apostles along with the elders. Now you say, Brother Pike, what makes you think that they are the apostles? He said, because when I sit upon my throne, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now somebody would say, well, wouldn't that be out of the millennium? That would be out of the millennium. But the Bible said, as in earth, so in heaven. As in heaven, so in the earth. Would God then give them 12 thrones to judge during the time of the millennium, and then when the new earth come, change around and get 12 new kings and put them up there? No, they'll be right there judging the 12 tribes of Israel, just exactly like he said, sitting upon 12 thrones right there beside him. The same way with the 24 elders as to those of the Old Testament that have come through as kings, great and mighty men of old that will come through, men of renown. See, and they will be there. So somebody would say, Brother Pike, that takes care of the kings. Now there's your kings right there. I know that. But what are we going to do with this? It said, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. It doesn't say they dwell in the city. It said they walk in the light of the city. Remember now, light is understanding. Even from little Bethlehem, there's some things going out that people are beginning to want to walk in the light of it. Walk in the light as he is in the light. It says here, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb is the Word. That's the understanding. What is the glory of the Word, the understanding of the Word, the illumination of the Word? So what does it say? And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth. It didn't say the kings of the city. 24 elders around the throne, but it didn't say the kings of the city. It said the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. It didn't say that these kings were on the inside and they gave honor to the Lamb as to these kings. Even though it does say that these kings that sit upon the thrones cast their crowns down at his feet. Yet it says these kings of the nations of the earth do bring their glory into it, which makes it evident that those kings are outside of the gates and those kings are over the nations. Those kings are those that are reigning without. 5 cities, 10 cities, how many cities? Only God knows how many cities as to a person. It depends on the person, as to whatever you obtain unto. But there's one thing about it, these are the kings that are throughout the new earth without the gates, and they do bring their honor into the city. So we see that God hath made us kings. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, who are these kings? The Bible said, us. So then there are kings, for God hath made us unto our God priests and kings. Even at the very present time, we are priests and we are kings. Someone would say, well, not yet. Yes, already. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? We're already sons of God. We're already kings. We've already passed from death unto life. We've already escaped the flesh and shall never come into condemnation. We've already been justified. We've already been sanctified. We've already been glorified. We're already the owner and possessor of all things. Someone would say, well, I don't feel that way, Brother Pike, and I don't feel that way towards you. The fact that you don't feel that way toward me meant you missed it. I said, you missed it. Your thoughts, that's the proof that you missed it. If you'd have gotten it, that shook a feller up sitting here, because his thoughts ain't right toward me. That's the only reason I said it. His thoughts usually are never right toward me. Occasionally he gets a hold of himself. But anyway, I just want you to know that you've not yet got it. If you keep on trying, you've been around a good while. And if you keep on trying, maybe one of these days you will get born again. But right now, you've got a problem. And that's thinking too highly of yourself. When you look in the mirror, the next time you look in the mirror, just look at yourself and think of yourself a little bit different from what you've been thinking. And you'll find out your face is not near as pretty as you think it is. Look at some of the discrepancies and begin to think of yourself in a different light. And then you'll have a different view of the preacher and a different view of God and of the church. All right. So then there are kings and there are people that will walk in the light of this city. There are nations. Now, I'd like to comment just a little bit. I purpose in my heart tonight, I was going to comment just a little bit on some things. And maybe you already know them, maybe you don't. I've discussed some of these things with the brethren. The Bible says, concerning the coming of this wonderful event, that we are not children of darkness, but children of light. That day should come upon us unaware. For the Bible said, as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell upon the earth. But we're not children of darkness. We are children of light. That is, we walk in the light of this beautiful city. And this beautiful city, what is this beautiful city? The Bible said, when I come to make up my jewels, I'll remember them as a son. I'll spare them. And then the Bible speaks of this beautiful city being adorned as a bride for her husband. And then he speaks of this beautiful city of the foundations. We spoke of this a few days ago and brought out a few things on it. So we're not going to comment a lot on it. But he spoke of this beautiful city and the foundations. And we spoke of the foundations and we spoke of the beautiful gates of pearls. Every gate, every three gates being of one pearl, every several gates. Now, the light and the glory of the city, we spoke of the measurements of the city and what the Bible said about 144 cubits, or how that it spoke of this measurement of the city. Of 144 or 144,000 that was caught up to Mount Zion. And we spoke of the similarity. And why the similarity? Why is it a similarity? Because it has to do with the walls of those 144,000 Jews. Or that is, the Bible said, and these are without fault before the throne. And these are they that are not defiled by women. And these are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And these were caught up, sealed in the tribulation, caught up to Mount Zion, while Jesus himself, the Lamb, stood at the top of the mountain. See what a beautiful pyramid city, as up a mountain and Jesus the capstone right at the top of it, the all-seeing eye. It is little wonder then that it should measure the way that it measures. See, it shows the beautiful, beautiful things of God as to the city, as to his bride, or as adorned as for the bride. And then it shows an interior as to the glory. So there is a body, there is a spirit. There is a natural, there is a spiritual. There is a natural Jew, there is a spiritual Jew. And Paul said, in all reality, there is no natural Jew, only the spiritual Jew, but one that is called a Jew. They make their boast in the law. So like I've told some of the brethren, the Jews, as we call them, that's in the city of Jerusalem right now, that's over in the Holy Land, that's supposed to be returning to their homeland. A lot of those Jews are nothing but renegades, because there really is no such thing as a Jew. A Jew is a title that's been given them. But Paul said the only real Jew is you and I. So then they are over there and they are all going back as to a nationality. But the real Jew is the 144,000. Because there's no such thing as a Jew. There is what the Bible called an Israelite. An Israelite people. People who are of Israel. That is the children of Jacob, in that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And out of the 12 sons came 12 tribes, which were Israelites, the chosen, in that God had chosen them in the seed of Isaac through Abraham. And the whole earth was to be overspread with these people as to being in control and inheriting the natural inheritance of the homeland. So then these are real people. These have never been defiled. These follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are good, godly, holy people. But the others are renegades. And in that the Bible speaks of these being caught up to the mount, then there is a people that is associated with these people. And the Bible speaks of the woman going into the wilderness when the man child is caught up to the throne. Therefore, that is another sect of people. And then the Bible speaks of Lucifer, or the dragon, making war with the remnant of her seed. Whereas there is another sect of people. Then as I spoke to you about the saints, the Bible said, through the tribulation, and he shall make war with the saints and overcome the saints. Whereas we would say, well, Brother Pike, I thought the saints had been raptured away. Well, there's a lot to understand. There's a lot in the mystery of God. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. But this is the thing that I want to make mention of. Out of all of these great things that's happening, he said that we would be children of light, the spiritual Jew, and that we would understand that the rest of the people would not understand when good comes, because Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, even he that savoreth the things that be of the world or of the flesh, would blind their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they should not know. That is, they shall not see through their eyes of understanding as to comprehend the signs of the time. They shall not see good when good cometh, as to what is being said as to understanding. Whereas the Bible said, your understanding being broadened to the height, the depth, the length, and the width. To comprehend these, Paul said. So then your eyes are enlightened. And he said, ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. Now, here's the thought. If I'm to know that it's nigh, even at the door, then that means that if I tell you something, it should be right. I tell you something and somebody will say, well, I don't know nothing about that. I don't know whether that's true or not, Brother Pike. You know, I say, folks, it's nigh, even at the door. And someone will say, well, you don't know. I said, well, let me tell you some things. So I tell you some things and you say, well, I don't know. I don't know whether that's right or not. But you got to admit one thing. That if we are children of light, And we know when it's nigh, even at the door, I am a child of light. I know when it's nigh, even at the door. Either I know when it's nigh, even at the door, and you know when it's nigh, even at the door, or either we are reprobates and we're not children of light. Now, which are we? Are we then children of light? Then do we know? If we know, why should anybody dispute it? God has said it. So, it's like I was telling some of the brethren the other day, and I mentioned this to some of you a few days ago. You are an unusual generation. An unusual generation. I speak of you, unto you about mortality, immortality, terrestrial, celestial, corruptible, incorruptible. The Bible said when this mortal has put on immortality. Now, you are an unusual generation. Let's look at it for just a minute. You are about to see another decade, which is 10 years. Someone would say, well, I don't see nothing so unusual about that. I know people have seen numbers of decades. I'm 35 years old. I've seen several decades. But that isn't all there is to it. You are about to see another century. Now, you can't so easily say, I know a lot of people that have seen numbers of centuries, because that's 100 years. Very few people ever get around to that. But nevertheless, you are the people that's about to see the turn of a century, which is another 100 years. We say 1988, but if Jesus tarries, you'll be saved 20 and 2, 20 and 5, 20 and 10, because it won't be the 19th century. It won't be 1900 years since Calvary, as we would say. It won't be 1900 years. It will be 2,000 years, 2,000 years, 2,000 years. So what? Somebody says, well, a lot to think about. You're not only the people that's going to see a decade, but you're going to see a century. And not only are you the people that's going to see a century, the turn of a century, but you're going to see a turn of millennium. The turn of a millennium. How many people ever get to see the turn of a millennium? That's really something, those that are alive at that particular time. And the thing is, though there are people that have seen turns of millennium down through the years, very rare. But at the turn of a millennium, that is a millennium is 1,000 years. In that M is associated with 1,000. Now, there are people that have seen a millennium that has been, we would say, approximately 6 millenniums. There has been those. See, that is to say, with this coming millennium. Now, there's been, as we would say, the turn of events to 6 millenniums. And the 6th one is coming to an end right now, according to calendar dates. So then there's something even more unusual about this generation. They're not only going to see the turn of a millennium, but they're going to see the turn of the millennium day. The turn of the millennium day, calendar-wise, as to the day of his rest. For the Bible said, and God worked in 6 days, and on the 7th day he rested. And as far as we can define it, all the way down, it has come all the way down until we're beginning to move toward the turn of event, that is the 7,000th year. The beginning of the 7,000th year, which means the 7th millennium, which is considered to be the day of his rest. Very unusual people. Very unusual generation. So, somebody would say, well, I ain't right, I don't believe that, nobody don't know that. Well, why does the Bible say that we're children of light? Why does it say that we shall know when it's not even at the door? How can you dispute as to what I say when the Bible said that I would know when it was not even at the door? I'm saying that it's not even at the door. So then, calendar-wise, we're looking at something. Now, let's look at something else. Thought we'd just share a few thoughts tonight. Let's look at this. You are an unusual generation to see all of these things as to a turn of event. But there's still something else. It's very unusual to this extent. Why is the revelation of Jesus Christ coming right now at this particular time and coming to you? Why? The Bible said there'll be a sinful and an adulterous generation that would kill mother, daddy, hate them. Why is all of a sudden this particular generation on the scene? Why? Why is all these things adding up to this? Why is it? We use the term that all of the lights would go out and there wouldn't be any light left except one light, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why is it that they're dropping out? Like Brother Roberts, the thing that reproached him, the thing that reproached Jimmy Swagger, the thing that reproached T.L. Osborne, or the thing that happened to T.L. Osborne and now is reproaching T.L. Osborne. Why is it Pat Robinson? Why is it Jim Baker? Why is it all of these others? Why was it that Falwell was mixed up into that and Humbert was mixed up in that? Why is that? Didn't we say that would happen? Why did Brother Branham go off the scene? Why did Brother Jack Cole go off the scene? Why did these others? Why has it happened to these people? Why did that happen? It's because that's what we said. See, it wasn't some kind of a game. If that had happened to one or two people, you could say, well, coincidence. But folks, when it happens to all of them, it ain't coincidence. It has to be the divine providence of God. So then when we look at it, what does it mean? The Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ. John said, the time is at hand. It's nigh, even at the door. At the coming of the revelation of Jesus Christ, what is it? It's the translation of the church. All right, let's look at another thing now. Let's see how close it really would be. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, now that shakes me up. You start talking like that and here it is 88, and then you're talking about in another 13 years or something, here comes the millennium. And somebody else would say, got plenty of time, plenty of time. But then there's some other things to be considered. One thing is, if this is 1988, 89, 90, there's two more years after this year. Three with the beginning of this year. Two more years, and it'll be 19 and 90. And then within 10 years, it'll bring in the 7,000th year, the millennium rest, according to calendar. Are you listening? And the Bible said, and God worked 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. And the writer said, and a day with God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Now, let's look at it like that. Why is it that all of a sudden the many things that a little backhill country boy, uneducated, knowing nothing, why is it so many things have come to pass? Like we spoke of Atlanta, spoke of the government switching, spoke of the different things that would happen in Atlanta, spoke of not too long ago, of how that though it appears that America is going to lay right in there with Israel, as goes Israel, so goes America. I said it won't be like that. I said all of a sudden America could cut across Israel. I said, and there'll be a boycott against the nation of Israel, and America will be in it. And I said, the Gorbachev thing coming over has to do with it. All right, what has happened recently? On the issue of people's rights, America attacked Israel and cut across Israel. All of a sudden, as it was said the other day, Israel outnumbered 10 to 1. All of a sudden, when Israel decided to oust their enemies as to the Arabs or the different ones that was causing trouble, America rises up in the nations and says, people's right, they stay. Now, Israel, what are you going to do? Now, America is boycotted with the nations. Now all of them is gathering in around Israel. Isn't that right? Because it is the hour of Jacob's trouble, which is referred to as the time when Joseph went down into Egypt and when he had all the problems with the famine. And the time of Jacob's trouble points to the tribulation period of Israel going through the fire. The Jews over there have been some of the most haughty, arrogant, mean, contrary people in the world. Hungry for money and passions. Passions built around Israel, they were so adulterous till God called them a whore. And called them an adulterer, said you've committed adultery, a whoredom under every green tree. And gave them a writing of divorcement. And Solomon had so many wives and David had so many wives. It was just something that was among them. Now, he promised to put them through the fire and to purge them. When I make Israel to pass under the rod, he said. Now then he's fixing to put them through the fire. They have been so confident, even in the six-day war, that they can handle the world. But all of a sudden, God is going to destroy that confidence until they're going to be torn into pieces. And he's going to put them through the fire until they realize how wretched they've been. As Paul said, killing the apostles, having the Lord Jesus crucified, being arrogant. Every wise man, Jesus said, that I ever sent to you, said you killed him, you stoned him. So then he's going to put them through the fire, and when they go through the fire, and when they lose their homeland, and they are put to shame and put to flight, and when they are embarrassed by their surrounding neighbors, then God is going to deal with them, and they're going to humble themselves in such great humility. And they're going to see the coming of the Messiah, and the mourning that they're going to go through with is going to be unreal. So when they come through the fire, humble themselves and lose all confidence in their ability as a nation of people, then God is going to join forces with them as the Messiah and raise them up, because they will be sweet, humble, godly, holy people that will seek out the things of Moses and of Elijah as to the law and the prophets, and God will bring to them the Ark of the Covenant. I wish we could comment more on the discovery of the Ark of the Covenant. Maybe one night we will. But I said that to say this. Why is it all of a sudden that these things are happening? Why the problems in the Persian Gulf? Why is the things happening that I spoke of? Why did Mr. Gorbachev come over here and at last the nation has accepted communism? Oh, somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, don't talk about us accepting communism. What kind of a fool would I be to think that America had not accepted communism when they accepted the chief of communism? Let's give the Lord a hand. Do you think I ought to be such a fool, or you ought to be such a fool, that somebody can stand up yonder and say, don't think we're communists and we've accepted communism. Don't think we believe in rattlesnakes just because we've got a living room full. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. Nothing against the Russian people, nothing against anybody. The Bible said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But I'm speaking of systems. All right. So then let's look at it. Why did Mr. Reagan all of a sudden do this, or America all of a sudden do this, while they were going along with Israel just fine? But when Mr. Gorbachev come over, I said, that's it. Gog and Magog, that's it. See that flag flying, that's it. Our little flag went up into the White House before Gorbachev got there. See, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. So, why did this all of a sudden happen? Why is all of these things happening? Why? There's a reason. It's the end of the world. The time is at hand. Now, let's look at one more thing. Somebody would say, then you're saying that within 12 to 13 years, Brother Pike, the millennium will be here. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that according to the calendar date, we're fixing to turn another millennium in a few years. And that's going to be the 7,000th year, the 7th millennium. And the Bible said he worked in 6 days and rested on the 7th. And the Bible says, and that's what the Bible says, that the man come, when the man comes that God says, he'll always be saying the Bible said. And if I am a preacher, or you are a preacher, if you're somebody that God sent, you're going to say what the Bible said. And the Bible says he rested on the 7th day, and the Bible says that a day with God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Now, let's look at it for just a moment. One more thing that I want to bring out. We've got to admit, calendar-wise, it's exactly right. It doesn't matter whether you like it, or I don't like it, or the neighbors doesn't like it. Calendar-wise, it is exactly that way. It is 1988, and who can change it? Now, the Bible does say that Antichrist will seek to change the times and seasons, or change them, and we do have what we call a leap year. That is, if you're dragging behind, when you're walking behind somebody, you're trying to stay up, and you can't quite make it, you just take a leap, and you catch up. And take a leap, you know, and catch up. So they've got it set up that way, according to their time system. And I've heard that just as of late, that the big clock, maybe Big Ben, or the big timepiece, that they have added another second. Because they say that the world is turning so slow on its axis that they've got to add another second to keep up with the time, the turntable. So that doesn't seem like much, but if the Lord tarried and 15 years went by and there was an added second as to a minute or as to an hour, as to a day, or whatever it would be, it is soon mount up to the change of the times and the seasons. Because seasons are based on the time, the clock, the time element. The whole world is in rotation as to a time. That's, you know, we sang this song, "And Time Shall Be No More." That has to do with being born, the time to die. But here's what I want to get to. So we know that somewhere in here, God has allowed this to throw people off in their times and seasons. So that the world out there, those seminary preachers, or people that are coming out of college, calling themselves ministers, that they will give an uncertain sound with the trumpet. See, they've got it marked now as to the Lord Jesus going into the temple when he was but 9 years old. The Bible gives it as going up to the temple at 12 years old. But they have it as 9 A.D. when it's supposed to be 12 A.D. So then there is a dispute between the scholars, and they can't figure out whether it's 9 A.D. or whether it's 12 A.D. And yet the Bible, they know that Jesus went up at the age of 12, so they changed the B.C. And they've offset it for 3 years. See, changing the times and seasons, the intellect, to make that out yonder give an uncertain sound to where they will not know. We are children of light. Somebody said, well, bless God. God wants that day, you know, to come on us. He wants it to catch us to where nobody ain't going to know, Brother Taylor. You won't know. He'll get you. God isn't doing that. God isn't doing that. You know, if my dad was going to drive by and pick me up at a certain time to take me over to a place to where he was going to spend about $100 on me for clothing or whatever, what do you say? I'll make sure you don't know when I'm coming. I'll make sure. He wouldn't do that, would he? See, he said, you are children of light. Ye shall know when that day's nigh, even at the door. I say again, if Tony was standing outside the door with his hands on the doorknob, folks, that's as close as he could get without me seeing him. And Brother Taylor comes running through the door and says, hey, Tony's got the doorknob in his hand. I'd know he was fixing to come in. It wouldn't make sense for him to stand there with a doorknob in his hand, would it? So he wants me to know. He is not trying to hide it from me. Well, you say, well, Brother Pike, the Bible said, and it shall come as a snare upon all them that dwell on the earth. I agree to that. But I like that saying where he said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So then, we know when it's nigh, even at the door. The Lord has so fixed it where I can know, where Brother Pike can know, Brother Taylor can know, where you as children of God can know when it's nigh, even at the door. But he did say that it would come up as a snare upon all of them that dwell on the earth. Now, you're not in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the world. Hid you with God in Christ. I've hid you in heaven. See, so that you would know. And what my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. I have made known unto you. You say, well, there might have been some things Jesus didn't know. Well, why did he say to me, ye have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things? Hallelujah. Wouldn't all things take in his coming? Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you'll never know. Well, I got some news for you. I already know he's already here and been here a long time. Been living here with me all this time. I know when he came in. I know when he came in, and I'm happy about the situation. So I'm not worried about that part of it. All right, so I'm saying this for the benefit of the listeners. Now, and I'm trying to make a point, and then after that I'll try to close. So, what does this mean to you and I? We know, but the children of this world, as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth. For they are children of darkness, they shall not know when good cometh. For Lucifer, Satan, even the god of this world, he's blinded their eyes, even the eyes of their understanding, that they may not see when good cometh. So what does this mean? We know when it's nigh, even at the door. Now, how close is it? All right, somebody would say, Brother Pike, you said 13 years and then comes millennium? Remember what I said. They've got the thing offset 3 years. What if we say that it's 3 years farther down the trail than what we've got it marked according to the calendar? Not considering leap year and the other kind of things, just taking this one thing. What if we said it was just 3 years down the trail a little farther? Not considering the offset of the many things as to the calendar dates we could bring about if we took it back to the prophetic side of the calendar. Let's just take that one incident. What if it's 3 years farther down the trail? Then would this be 88 or would this be 91? What would it be? Even if we moved it up to 91, how many years would that be? 88, 89, 90, 91. As of the coming years, what if it was 91? Or if the thing was offset and we was looking, as we say, 88, we're looking to 89, 90, 91. What if we said it was offset that much? Then we said, I said to you, folks, in 9 more years, we're going to have a millennium. That would change your whole thought, wouldn't it? That would change the whole picture, wouldn't it? That really would. But what if I then said to you, I say, look, the millennium's coming. But folks, there's 7 years of tribulation before the millennium. Are you listening? And I say, we done moved up to 91. And there's 7 years that we got to take out of this thing if the church is going to get out of here. And we looked at it that way. Now, where would that put us? How many years would that leave us? Somebody tell me. 2 years? Oh, somebody said we got plenty of time. Let's give the Lord another hand. You know, one thing that we need to know, and that is that we don't know something as we ought to know unless God enlightens us and God shows us the way. Supposing that it would be like that. Oh, somebody said, well, praise God, we're just supposing. But I'm telling you, according to the calendar dates, according to the calendar dates, it's 1988. According to the scripture, there is a three-year misfit somehow or another as to the intellectual reasoning, as to make them give an uncertain sound with the trumpet so that the people cannot prepare themselves to the battle. But as of you, the Bible said, you are not children of darkness, that that day should come upon you unawares. Now, I want you to think on that. A lot of times, you know, we read a scripture and we go by and we don't seem to understand, and we just say, the Bible said nobody, you know, is going to know. It's going to be as a snare upon all them that dwell on the earth. But Jesus emphatically stated, he said, ye are not children of darkness, that that day should take you unawares. For ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. He said, for as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. Now, can't you differentiate and see what he's saying? Go back and read it. He said, as a snare shall it come upon all of you people that dwell on the earth. Then he said, children of light, that day shall not take you unawares. Ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. All right, so then, where does that put you? Oh, somebody says, well, I don't know about that now, Brother Pye. Well, you got a business, you got to get it going. It's going to take you a year or two to get it in good shape. If you devote all of your time for another year or two, you might be making yourself some money, because some of you are trying hard. And besides that, if you try hard, within 2 years, you might get at least a good down payment on the place you're trying to pay for or that place that you're planning to get. Somebody says, are you saying 2 years? I'm talking about 2 years. How do you know I'm talking about 2 years? I'm talking about 2 years. Calendar-wise, according to the offset, the misfit of the scripture, as some would say. And there's nothing misfitting about the scripture. So then it's something to think about, isn't it? Oh, somebody said, I got to do a lot of business. I got to make a lot of money. I tell you what I got to do. I got to run for my life and try to win another soul if there's any time left. And with all of my heart, soul, mind, strength, and body, love him and do everything I can, because I feel like I'm running way behind as it is. Oh, somebody said, but I got to grow up and I got to marry a wife and we're going to have a good time, buy us a little home, we're going to live for God. Oh, I'm going to get myself a husband and, you know, and got a lot of plans, and after that, you know, me and my husband, we're going to get together and think this thing over. And, you know, after a few years, and I don't know what we might do. And some of them running around loose out yonder. They've left the sanctuary. They've left the Word of God. They've left the brotherhood. And they're messing around out there, you know, and as soon as they get enough of that, they're going to throw all that aside and they're going to come back and live for God. And when the people get out of college and they get their education, and when they get through all the things they're doing, they're going to get religious. They've got, right now, they've got their, well, what can you say? They've got everything at stake right now, you know, and they've got their career. They must consider their career and get everything fixed for their family. Now, this is the trend of the world, and the others are gullible. They're playing around races and all kinds of things, dances and frolics and eating and drinking, as it was in the days of Noah, marrying and remarrying. And now some of them are getting scared and they're running back home, you know. They said, we're going to move back home. Good and well. I'm glad. I hope you do. I wish mine would, yours would, and all the rest of them come back home. As to home, you know, being back to the right state of mind. Somebody says, praise God. God save my children. No, they're not running back home so that they're saved.
It's like I was saying to somebody the other day, some of them quit smoking. A number of them quit smoking all of a sudden. Somebody said, I see that God's getting a hold of their heart. No. What it is, it's like the little brother that's in prison. They just found out he's got TB. Smoking, pulling on dope, doing all these kind of things. And the others are getting scared and they're running. They're running back. Will they get away with what they've done? No, sir. God will burn their fields. They can run back to mom and daddy. They can run back home. They can play goody-goody and mom and daddy can give them a shelter and that's good and well. But God is going to set their fields on fire. They've eaten with the pigs and lived with the dogs. And they've reproached everything that God stands for as to decency. And they've done everything ugly and mean and contrary as they could to the preacher, to the church, to God's people. Been arrogant, and now they're running for shelter, and God is going to set their fields on fire. He's going to burn their fields. They got it all to pay for. Well, somebody would say, they're young. I know, a sinful and an adulterous generation. God will burn their fields. So, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I said that to say this. What should we be doing? What ought we to be doing? What should we have done? Somebody said, well, in the light of what you said, I'm going to make a change. I promise you, you won't. I promise you, you won't. The Bible says that if the leopard can change his spots, and if the Ethiopian can change his skin, then they that are accustomed to do evil will do good. They'll never do good. You'll never do good. You'll never change your nature. Your nature is to have a business. Your nature is to make money. Your nature is to find prestige. Your nature is to have a career. Your nature is to neglect the things of God. Your nature is to go after the things of the world. Your nature is to make excuses. Your nature is to plan for day after tomorrow. Your nature is to carry money to where you can feel security or put it in the bank or do your thing. Your nature is to be everything but what Christ wanted you to be. That is, if you'd have had the nature of Christ, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then you would have been a son of God all the time. You would have done right all the time because you heard the truth. To them that are without, they haven't heard the truth. There's still hope. But you have heard the truth. See, and you have seared your conscience with a hot iron, got past feeling. You've done your thing. You are a routinist. You do whatever you want to do with a regularity, whether it's be critical all the time in your mind, reasoning all the time in your mind, finding fault all the time in your mind, or whatever it is, that's what you are. That's why the Bible says, let them that are filthy be filthy still. When did God say this? When did he say this? See, it was in his mind before the world ever was, when he repented and said, none of them good, all is turned to his own way. See, and it was when John wrote the Revelation that these things were revealed to John. Why way back then, when we're just now coming down to the end of the trail? Because it's all a state of mind. It's all a revelation. And all he has to do is reveal it to the generations as to according to the measure that he sees to give them at that time. And we are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And so the sevenfold light is beginning to come to us. Why? Because there are a people that's going to conquer death and be translated. They're not going to sleep. And they must have the mysteries of God. For Jesus said it is not given to them that are without to know the mysteries of God, but unto you it is given. Because the mysteries is what translates you. Paul got the mystery and he was translated. He went into the third heaven. John got the mystery and he went up into the third heaven. Paul said, I don't know whether in my body or out of my body. I'd love to talk on that sometimes. Alright, so I'm going to try to stop right along here. But I'm going to say this one thing for you to think over. See, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And the Bible said, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. For this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was, and brought to light at Calvary, preached to us down through the church ages. And as it was with Judas, he was filthy. And when the time of his hanging come and the rejection of God, God said, let him be filthy still. And at the time of the apostles to be called away to die, Jesus, before the world ever was, elected them unto righteousness in his mind, elect according to foreknowledge. And when the time came for him to call them, he said, let them be righteous still. See, if you was one of God's elect, if you was foreordained to righteousness and not ungodly men that were foreordained unto condemnation, then you was righteous from the time that God conceived you in his mind before the world ever was. And the Bible said, he that is righteous even as he is righteous. So at this particular time when the judgment is about to come, when the world is about to terminate, if you was righteous, let you be righteous still. If you was a devil in his foreknowledge, let you be a devil still. Let you be wicked and wretched still. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God, and bringing upon themselves swift damnation or destruction. Well, that is to say, men that were foreordained unto condemnation. So then, if you had been the right people when you heard the gospel, you wouldn't have waited till somebody told you the end of the world was there. You would have been trying to do right all the time because your nature would have been like that. A leopard doesn't wait to any certain time in his life to decide to act like a leopard. Neither does an elephant. Neither does a human being. See, so if you'd have had it, you'd have been straight all the time. But in that you wasn't straight, that was the proof you didn't have it. I want you to stand with me. I tell you these things, you need to think them over, folks. How close is the end of time? Somebody says, well, I'm determined to believe that it's 2 years. What if I brought out some more things? It might narrow it down less than 2 years. I think the best thing to do is to realize that we are children of light, not of ignorance, as to darkness of a misunderstanding. Gross darkness covering the people as to intellectual ignorance. And Paul said, would not have you ignorant. But he said, at the evening time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. Even Jesus as to the evening time saying, I am the light of the world. I go away now, you are the light of the world. And let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Would be well if you would think it over, folks. We're headed for the judgment. All of us are headed for the judgment. We have people living on the campground. Don't come to men's meeting. They could care less about the support of little Bethlehem. They don't care whether we pay on the land or whether we pay the lights or whether we keep up the buildings. The thing they want to do is lounge around on the campground and use the campground for their own benefit. I see brethren coming with a regularity trying to find out if there's anything they can do to add to the kingdom of God or to help keep things going or to help keep a little school or help keep a little community. Others could care less about it. They figure that's not their problem. Let Brother Pike worry about that. And I will if it takes worry. So like I said today, you can spend your whole life making excuses and you'll be just as tired at the end of the day as you would have otherwise. If you'd have worked, you wouldn't have been any tireder because you put in the same amount of hours every day. So if you put your hours in doing nothing, then at the end of the day, you reap nothing. If you put your hours in doing something, then there's reward in all labor. And the Bible said, thou art inexcusable. You may excuse yourself and say, well, I'm a businessman, or I gave 100, or I believe it like this. I'm working towards your cause, or someday we're going to do this. But it ain't worth the time that you take to think it or say it. I noticed some of you stay home with a regularity. I asked about a man today. I said, where is this brother? I said, he hardly ever comes around. I said, does he work that much? I know he don't, because his companions always complaining about him not paying the bills. Where is he? Does he just stay home and lounge around where it's nice and comfortable and cozy? Or is he just riding around? That's the way some of you do. That's the way some of you ladies do. But others, they're like the Cinderella of God. They're always going on with the dishpan hands. They're trying to do something. As a matter of fact, I think Winfred walked all the way from home over here tonight, didn't she, Betty? She'll come down, she'll bring us something there at the house, she'll scrub the floor, she'll wash the dishes, bring us food, always bringing us food, even tonight. Walked way over here, not to come to church, just to bring us a gallon of milk. She didn't even know there's going to be any church. See, it's not just Winfred, there's a number of people, men and women alike, and they're like this. Others could care less. I had men today down there helping them a little myself, shoveling off snow, ice, work. I mean, it was work. Trying to get it to where different ones wouldn't slip down at the church coming, walking up and down the sidewalk, down around the different places, you know, to where it would be safe for them. Others didn't show up, could have cared less about it. But nevertheless, some do one thing, some do another thing. The main thing is that you do something. And when you do nothing, then you reap nothing. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. You save all that you've got for a rainy day. Because like I said, God's faithful to give you a rainy day. Like I told my wife and some of the fellas. Somebody said, well, I just can't leave off with my business. I just can't leave off with my job. I just can't leave off with things. But all of a sudden, God brings a rainy day and an icy day, and it's just so easy for you to leave off with your business, and it didn't run away with you, and you didn't lose all your contractors, and you know, and somehow you managed to stay home. Let's sing a chorus together. God's got a way of breaking our routine, hasn't He? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. All of us going to be at the judgment. Brother Pike's going to be at the judgment, and you're going to be at the judgment. I'll be giving my excuses, and you'll be giving your excuses, and we'll all be there. And everything that we've done, the Bible said, we'll give an account for every deed that we've ever done in the body. And the Bible said God will judge the secrets of your heart, Paul said, by the gospel that I preach. And that means that every thought was supposed to be brought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus. And in that we let it run wild in all of our thinking, all of our talking, all of our jesting, all of our desire, all of our ambition, all of our plans, all of what we wanted. Then we've got to give an account to God. We've got to explain to Him why that we thought like that, why that we said that, why we did that, why it was like that, why our plans was like that and our programs was like that. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, I need Thee. thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. So list to the Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Sing it again. At the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. I don't want no gold or silver. I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my everything. So I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. Sing it again. We don't want the gold and silver, and we don't want the diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus
far to me. He's my everything. Oh, I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my head. Can you sing one more time? I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my everything.
Let's sing this little chorus.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him all your heart secrets? How long has it been? How long, my friend, since you stayed till the light broke through? You remember it, Frank? How long since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart secret? How long has it been? How long, my friend, that you stayed till the light broke through?
I wonder really how long it has been since some of us really talked with God and stayed long enough to find out what He wanted us to do and what our life was all about. Some of us don't ever take enough time to do that. Isn't that right? But we should. We should. Well, let's sing this chorus. Sing a chorus or two and we'll let you go.
We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. We'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul.
Sing it again.
We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls of the sunshine, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. Sing it with me again. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. We'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun, I'll be happy. Can you sing this one more time with me? So let tomorrow just be tomorrow. We'll serve the God that has control. And if the sun shines
or the rain falls, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see? Carry me home. Coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low. Coming to carry me home. Let's sing this little chorus. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with his light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from lands that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as Jim, can you sing it again? They'll come from the land that's afar to fish with the king. Beholding his hallowed face, a glow with light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine.
Just one or two more courses and we're going to let you go. Be careful when you leave tonight, because it's cold outside. The ice is still out there and you could get hurt. All right, let's sing this song. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of the valley. the bright morning star. And he is the first of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody sing it one more time. Everybody on the tail. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of the bright morning star. And he is the first of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And if you and I at Little Bethlehem are willing to go forth and tell everybody, then everybody will know. And the Bible said, exalt each other the more as you see the day approaching. And that means that we are able, as children of light, to see the day approaching. And I do see the day approaching. It's now even at the door. Folks, believe me when I say this. Try to believe me. If for none other things that I said tonight is to try to show you the nearness of the coming of the Lord, if for no other reason, remember what I said about the boycott. How that they would boycott against Israel. And that in spite of all of what Mr. Reagan has said, and Jimmy and all the others to befriend Israel, that all of a sudden they would turn on Israel. And it would be an agreement with the rest of the nation, that the nations would all come to an agreement. But Israel would be on the receding end of things, and it would not be well with Israel. Folks, just that alone makes you to know the end of the world is here. For the Bible emphatically states that when you see all of the nations gathered together against Israel, know that it was nigh, even at the door. Said, when you see all of the nations of the world gather in against Israel, see, something is about to take place. Something is about to take place. Remember, I preached to you in the book of Revelation. It said, and one came forth and sat upon the cloud, and one came out of the altar, from the altar, crying, thrust in thy sickle, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Reap. And then another one came out, the Bible said, having power over fire. And it was said unto the other one, cast in thy sickle, for the grapes of the earth are fully ripe. And the Bible said he thrust in the sickle, and the grapevine was cut down. You're referred to as a vintage, as a vine. We say it went through the grapevine. Jesus said, what more could I do to my vineyard? You're either a vineyard that brings forth ripe grapes, or as it is said, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. There are vineyards that bring forth sour grapes. Good wine comes from good grapes. The stimulation of revelation. So then it said, and the vine was gathered into the valley of blood. It was gathered for the battle of Armageddon. And the blood run up to the horse's bridle because the Bible said they trampled the winepress. And that means that God is going to cut down all nations, the vine, and gather them into the valley for the great battle. And the blood will run to the horses' bridles as the millions and millions from all over the world will come believing that somehow they will be able to overthrow Israel, the little nation. But the man upon the white horse, the Bible said the sword will go forth from his mouth and slay the nations till the blood runs to the horse's bridle. And the three unclean spirits that has gone into all the world at that time, not just, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I feel like that'll just be them that's over there in Israel. Won't be them on this side of the sea. It'll just be them over there. They're going to dry up the river to make way for the kings of the east, which means all of that of China and Japan and all of these other things will go in against Israel. From everywhere, the Bible said they went throughout the world to gather all of the world to Antichrist's behalf. And Antichrist will siege and siege again, thinking that with his great number that he will finally defeat Jesus. And those followers will be with him on the white horses. But as they come in herds like cattle, their blood will be spilt, and their blood will be spilt, and their blood will be spilt. And as the armies come from all over the world, their blood will be spilt as quick as they hit the battlefield until the blood is running to the horse's bridle. Oh, Brother Pike, that can't be. I promise you it'll be like that. It'll be like that. He said it. It won't be altered. It will be just like he said. So, tonight, consider that the boycott is on. Something's about to happen. Can you picture that thing? Mr. Reagan fixing to go out of office, and all of a sudden, Mr. Bush is on his heels. Israel is your burning bush. Jesus was the burning bush of the fury of God, consumed by God to never go out, burning with the fire of his indignation of sin. Israel, the fire, the bush that won't burn, though it's consumed with fire, as to appearance, yet it still lasts on and on. And Mr. Bush, ready to come to the forefront. Can you imagine all this stirred up at this time? Something is happening, folks. I beg of you for your soul's sake that if there's anything in you that is God-like, give it a chance. Fan the sparks. Let things come out to the front. Don't look at the world. Don't be interested in the world. Don't be interested in the things of the world. We all stumble and make mistakes. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I stumble more than anybody, it seems. But that has nothing to do with it. Try to do right. Forget about your personal ambitions, your worldly ways, your traits. Get out of a rut. Don't stay in that rut. Get out of it. I'm trying every day to get out of ruts and to do the right thing. While you're standing with your head bowed, thinking about the things of God, I'm going to ask Willie to come up here, if you will. And while Willie's coming to pray with us, think on Brother Pike when you get a chance. Pray for me. You know, just take a take a minute and say, Lord, help that preacher. He needs help. Whatever you do, if you don't have anybody to pray for me. I need prayer. Pray that God will open the doors of the world to world evangelism. Paul said, pray that God will open doors for me, that I might be able to go through those things and do something for God. Like somebody said the other day, if you want to walk through the wall, just open the door. No problem. Pray that God will open doors.